Today is the, we're going to have the second part in the hospitality series. And we will look at examples of loving the stranger, which is the literal meaning of hospitality, where God uses acts and opportunities to minister in the name of Christ. The Lord records compassion in our text in Acts 28 of those who are foreign to him, showing kindness to his redeemed people. And hopefully we can find from the various examples we will cover that even through mercy ministry is an open door not only to practice and to be active in hospitality, but also in sharing the gospel. So let's examine and learn from the narrative. We're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 28, starting with verse 1. Now, when they were escaped, and let me give a background again, what has happened here in chapter 27 and previous. Paul has been grabbed by the Jews, falsely accused. The Roman governor was seeking to please the Jews and wasn't looking favorably upon Paul. And Paul appealed his case to Caesar. And so Paul is going as a prisoner to Rome. And the Lord, in the process, as they're traveling up by boat, spoke to Paul and warned about a storm. And Paul shared that revelation with the ship's captain and the captain of the guard. But they did not regard his warning. And then they came upon a terrible storm that lasted 2 weeks. And then they finally found themselves shipwrecked on what we find out is the island of Malta. So let me go back to verse 1. When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, let me interrupt here. Remember from Acts 27, there were 276 people on the ship. And so the natives of Malta are beholding these people swim to shore. They took immediate action to help them. And yes, they were good Samaritans, very good Samaritans. And hospitality was extended to the seafaring men, to the Roman soldiers, and even to the prisoners, of whom one was Paul. So this is the first act of hospitality of these Maltans, is building a great bonfire for these people so they can dry off and get warm. So picking it back up in verse 3 of Acts 28, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, as Paul is experiencing hospitality, the Lord manifests a miracle, demonstrating his favor upon Paul as a deadly viper is literally hanging from his hand. And the Lord wants to bring attention to Paul and does so in a great way. And so there's opportunity to minister the power of Christ develops right here, and a mutual relationship of helping one another develops between the island inhabitants and Paul, along with his needy companions. So in verse 7, it says, "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously." Now, this man receives Paul. He's a stranger to Paul. Paul's a stranger to him. Receives Paul and his Christian friends. you know, were all 276 people received by this one man? We don't know. But bear in mind, overall, the 276 marooned souls find themselves recipients of love towards the strangers. It probably took many homes to house these stranded strangers. This is a great, great sacrifice for the Maltese people. And verse 11 states, for 3 months these people were stuck on the island until a ship from Alexandria transported them to Italy. And in verse 8 of Acts 28 it says, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Now the power of God seen in his servant Saul causes all the sick of the island to seek out Paul for healing. Word spread quickly. This man has the power of God to heal. And do you think for one moment that Paul did not take opportunity to explain the gospel message? Of course he did. Paul always takes advantage of any opportunity to declare Christ and him crucified. And hospitality by the Maltese turns into an opportunity by Paul to extend mercy ministry and therefore open the door to evangelize. Both parties establish a trusting relationship due to the mercy need of one another. Kindness and love is shown towards one another. And what a marvelous open door to speak God's love and his redemptive message. Picking up verse 10 of Acts 28, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And standing at Syracuse, we tarried three days. And from thence, we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Now, Paul enjoyed 7 days with the brethren in the faith after he left Malta and Puteoli, and certainly Paul was refreshed both physically and spiritually. Now, bear in mind, Paul had not been in Italy before. Again, he and Luke are receiving the love extended to strangers. In this short narrative, the Lord underscores the love towards strangers. First by the heathen towards the Christians, and then Christians extending love towards other Christians who at first meeting are strangers. Acts 28:15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul had suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now arriving in Rome, Paul has Christians who travel to see him. This brought great courage to Paul as he was to eventually see the Caesar through his appeal. And Paul is allowed to rent a dwelling. And how is this so? Well, probably only through the generous giving of the collective saints in the region was Paul able to afford lodging and food for 2 whole years. He was under house arrest and could not simply lodge with friends in Rome. Yet God provided for Paul and allows him to hold a church in his dwelling for 2 years due to the giving of strangers out of a love for Christ. Paul in his teachings sought to reach out to those who were estranged or strangers to God. Paul, as any preacher once to bring the outsiders in so that they too may be part of the family of God. And do you recall several weeks back as I preached about Paul's ministry during the tumultuous storm in Acts 27, his concern for his fellow shipmates was contrasted with Jonah's lack of concern for his shipmates. And I want to return to the book of Jonah to show the concern strangers are to have for other strangers in danger. In Jonah chapter 1, a storm comes upon the ship carrying sleeping Jonah, who sought to flee from both the presence of the Lord and from his own responsibilities. The life-threatening storm caused everyone on the ship to pray to their respective gods, all except Jonah, who slept below. And the Lord uses the casting of lots to reveal that Jonah is the cause of the storm. And Jonah explains who he is and what he has done. And even though Jonah offers a solution to calm the storm, the strangers do not like the suggestion of throwing him overboard, knowing that he would drown. And of course, Jonah is a complete stranger to these men on the ship. So they continue to risk their lives in order to save everyone, including rebellious Jonah. And only when all is futile do they pray to the Lord, the God of Israel, and throw Jonah into the sea. Now, like the story in Acts 28, Jonah chapter 1 demonstrates how the sovereign God utilizes strangers to the faith to bring about opportunities for his servants to witness Christ and share the good news of the gospel. God uses the sailors to throw Jonah into the sea and commands the large fish to swallow Jonah and transport him to the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, many would refer to such actions of the unregenerate as common grace. In other words, God grants a degree of grace through favorable circumstances to the unregenerate. If you have food to eat, a home, a degree of good health, that is considered common grace or universal blessing on the physical level. With Paul and Jonah, the common grace unbelievers showed them opens up a door to minister the message of particular or special grace that can bring salvation to those who receive it. Strangers on the ship show love towards Jonah in seeking to spare his life as long as they could. And God uses the situation to preserve Jonah so that he could go to the strange land of Nineveh and preach repentance to cruel, wicked, and unregenerate sinners so that they may receive God's word and no longer be estranged from God. A foolish Jonah misses witnessing these heathen men on board the ship that he was traveling. These men were made vows and they were sacrificed to the Lord after they threw Jonah in. And Jonah, like many of us, is consumed with thoughts of how hostile the enemies of God are towards believers. He did not trust in the saving power of God and the possibility of conversion in others. How encouraged Jonah could have been going to Nineveh if only he took time to pray for those men on the ship and share the hope that lied in himself. God provides a great opportunity to share the gospel through his providence of the storm and the love towards strangers manifested in the ship's crew towards Jonah. But Jonah was blind to it all, where he did not have positive thoughts about God, only negative thoughts of his situation. Now, how amazing it is, your God who blesses us through the kindness of strangers at times, and even those strangers who are not believers. If believers can show much kindness, if unbelievers can show much kindness to us Christians, how much more should we share with those outside of the faith? The Lord uses positive prayers, proactive believers. Negative thoughts and dormant Christians serve only the devil and not God. And this brings me to the greatest story of kindness to strangers. Yes, the story of the Good Samaritan is a template for us to follow and to implement every day. We are Christians, after all, due to God bringing to us the gospel message, calling us to repent from sin and believe in His Son for forgiveness. We are saved and enfolded into the family of God by God's decree of adoption. Salvation is of the Lord, not by the will of man. And praise be to the Lord for His using men, women, and children to invite the stranger into the house of God. And let us remember these essential truths as we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, if you want to turn in your Bibles. So we pick it up in verse 25 of Luke 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Remember, the Good Samaritan was not a Jew, not part of the covenant people, and was not instructed in God's word weekly. Yet he knew compassion and practiced it towards a hurting stranger because he simply found him hurting and knew he had to do whatever he could to preserve this stranger's life. The parable highlights how a priest, an intercessor between sinners and God, failed to live out the basic element of the law: love your neighbor as yourself. He did not want to honor God either by keeping the 6th commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." Indeed, how do we live when no one is around us to see? How do we live? How selfish are we when an inconvenient opportunity arises to do good to others that may make it hard for us, costly in some way, and take us out of our routine? The Levite did no better, pretending to not see the wounded man. Perhaps they covered their ears to block out his cries for help and mercy. One wonders, did these Jews actually truly realize God's forgiveness and His grace working in them? Did they ever cry out to God for mercy and deliverance of any kind? It seems not. When one only thinks of their own interests and those God has put in their lives are seen as annoyance, burdens, and perpetual headaches, they do not love them. Their heart is far from the things that God values. And Jesus taught anyone you come across is truly your neighbor. You should do good to them all your days. You should seek the highest degree of blessing toward all you encounter. Jesus speaks of the Samaritan unbeliever one despised by the Jews as an example of one who does well to his neighbor in a time of great need. Can we find times in our past where we have failed to help a neighbor we knew or did not know? It was not convenient, perhaps. We were running late, picking up the kids, or getting dinner. Perhaps we had many bills to pay, and we were tired of giving our money away to those strange bill collectors and wanted to keep some cash for ourselves for a change. Perhaps we thought, like the priest, surely someone else will come along and help this poor soul. We may have referred to them as a government agency. Go to the government for help. And not me. And of course, sometimes you can't fully help others. The priest could have stayed with the Samaritan until another person came along to help him, carry him to an inn. Good intent would have been shown at the very least. No, he did not want to get involved. And the Levite crossed over the other side so not to see the suffering in the eyes of the wounded brother. But the Samaritan, again, the non-Jew, takes him to an inn and treats his wounds and tells the innkeeper to care for him. And any expense he incurs, it will be repaid by the Samaritan and not by the patient. See, in contrast, Jesus tells of the Samaritan being moved with compassion towards the wounded Jew. And this is what is needed to help the stranger, compassion. What if you don't have compassion towards others? What do you do? Well, your Lord provides instruction for you. He says it best, I think, in the King James Version, Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It should be something within you, within your bowels, that which is natural for you to express. And this parable is meant by Jesus to teach that keeping the law has love at the root. It is toward all, even strangers, the covenant enemies of God, we are to love. And it is costly. It takes much out of us at times, many times. Living and evangelizing for Christ is costly. It is never detrimental. It is never detrimental to you, Christian. But you may have to empty yourself and forsake some of the world in order for it to come to pass. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you practicing this, my brothers and sisters? I pose the question. God awaits your answer. Heathens are hospitable. How much more should the people of God practice loving the stranger? We must engage the culture in order to change the culture. This is what is meant by the church militant. We interact with those outside of the faith and take the opportunity God puts before us in His wise providence. Encountering a wounded man on the road to Jericho is a good example. We live out what we believe. We simply do not confess only that Jesus is fully man and fully God and He takes away our sins. We keep the law. We love God and thereby desire to manifest love for our fellow man. We want aliens, strangers, even enemies of God to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. If the nations are given to Jesus, that implicitly means the people of the nations. If you are a recipient of God's saving grace, then share that grace with others. Showing love to strangers is the best way to build relationships. Opportunity will arise for you to share about yourself, about what matters most, your faith in God. And whether you are on the receiving or giving end of hospitality, take the opportunity to simply share your goods, but certainly share the goodness of the gospel. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do beseech your mercy and grace to be upon us each and every day, Lord, and we pray as we are the recipients of your love that we would show love, love towards the stranger, love towards our enemies, that we would do good to them, that we would seek the prosperity of their body and of their possessions, but most importantly, the prosperity of their souls by sharing the good news of the gospel which you have entrusted to us. Oh Lord, enable us by your grace and by the increase of our faith to be honorable to your name, to live out and to share the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.